We found another piece of the seabed language that we can adopt, and that would be subdivision 7 of the Senate language. What did I say? Senate?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, of the House language.
I'm sure what page?
It's on R28. It changes wind to renewable energy project.
That would be subdivision 7 and R28 lines
30.33 through 31.16. Any questions or comments about that? Okay, then on that motion, all those in favor signify by stating aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That motion prevails, and subdivision 7 is added to the conference committee report. We've had some discussions about the wind study. I don't know. We're looking at language that would change the period to 5 years, but conduct a study to determine the appropriateness of that, so that we would change it at this point to 5 years, and pending the outcome of the study. So we're looking at language. We're coming up with language to be able to adopt something like that. Does anybody have any questions or comments or concerns about that? Seems like a good compromise.
Oh, Madam Chair, could you tell us what section that would be attached to?
That would be section 11 of the Senate section. Okay. Has everybody found that section? Maybe you can tell me where it's at.
Oh, R39. R39.
At
the bottom on the left.
Okay. I've asked Tom Peterson to be here to testify, and then I would like to talk to anybody who has a concern about that language. Now, I don't need support at this point, so Mr. Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Tom Peterson. I represent the Minnesota Farmers Union. And just very briefly, we do urge your consideration of five-year language. And just listening to what you're talking about with the study, I think that's a good idea, too, because I don't know if 5 years is the right year language. We do say that, you know, we worry about as we get out 10, 12, 15 years what the world's going to look like. And if we're not developing the projects, as I had talked to some of our farmers a month ago or so about this, a lot of them reminded me of pipeline agreements. For some of you that have pipelines that run through your districts, and farmers signed away permanent easements on pipeline rights, and that had never happened or have happened, and for a small amount of money. And so that's the kind of idea here, especially as we've talked about entering a very active time for wind, and this is happening in western southwest Minnesota. Our farmers do know, and it has been very publicly, if you live in western Minnesota, that North Dakota and South Dakota did adopt this language of 5 years. And so our farmers know that, a lot of them, and they wonder if Minnesota is going to give some kind of guidance like that also. I also think that by adopting this, and I haven't read the language, I was just sitting here trying to make sure I was figuring this out, that so if you adopt a five-year language, I would assume that, you know, say four years and 6 months into it, if the project all of a sudden was getting going, you could sign an extension for 5 years, and it would take care of the problem. So I would assume that would be the way, but maybe you need to make sure that that would cover that. So I do urge you to give some guidance to our landowners and farmers and consider this legislation. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else that wanted to address us on this issue?
Madam Chair, my name is Stephen Jones. I'm with Anexco, a wind development firm. I'm based out of Minneapolis. On one of our projects in southwest Minnesota, the Fenton project, which is in Murray and Nobles County, we started development on that project in 1999. We were bid into an RFP with Xcel Energy and was selected in 2003, although we actually bid in 2001. And we are just now getting ready to go commercial at the end of this year, and we will not have our full transmission availability until 2008. There were many market disruptions during this period that we could not avoid. The federal RPS, the federal production tax credit, and then the turbine market started going crazy with prices going up very quickly. And we will not have full transmission service until 2008. So those all have contributed to not being able to develop a project within a five-year window. One thing that we found out, if there's any risk to going commercial within a certain time frame, we cannot obtain financing from our lenders because they are risk-averse and they will just not finance the millions of dollars that it takes to finance a project. When we were talking about MISO earlier, anybody can make an application into MISO for an interconnection position. It is a timely process. It is an expensive process, but nobody is precluded from doing so. Also, it looks like the next window of opportunity for developing wind for new projects in the Buffalo Ridge is in the 2011-2012 time frame. And so if you secured land rights now, they would be due to expire even before there's transmission available. I guess in conclusion, we would like to say that the five-year program does not work. As a minimum, you would need at least 10 years, and we really think that a study should be undertaken with maybe a 10-year period right now to study the problem and the solutions.
Do you also work with projects in North Dakota and South Dakota?
Yes, we do. And
do you find any problems with their five-year lease agreements?
The way it is written in South Dakota is you have to go into development within a five-year period, which could be you're doing your transmission studies, you're doing your meteorological studies, which takes 1 to 3 years. You are doing work to develop a project. You do not have to go commercial within that five-year window.
Okay. Ms. McAbee, could you come to the table, please? Just a minute. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I find myself sitting here agreeing with everyone.
That's been the process in this whole thing, right?
My question is, as I've come to understand this issue slightly better, the five-year time period does not mean that your right to develop the project is yanked out from under you, but that you have to re-up with the landowner, as explained earlier by Ms. McAbee. Is that too onerous a threshold? Too big a burden? It's not that they simply get yanked and you have no right to proceed in Minnesota at that site.
Whenever you bid,
you have to check in.
Madam Chair, whenever you bid a project into, say, utility, it's a financial transaction with a known revenue stream to the developer, and we have to gauge what our costs are. As you go through the process, if you have to start renegotiating your lease agreements, your cost structure could go up substantially. And in order for us to make our hurdle rates to obtain financing, we then might have to go back to a utility and say, we cannot do your project now at the price that was bid. And then you have to renegotiate. They have to be comfortable with the price that's being offered to them now. They might have to go back to the commission for approval. And so it makes it just more difficult to obtain financing and proceed with the project.
Senator Dibble?
Thank you.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to Mr. Jones, do you have a tangible example of a project that you had to do that with?
Yes, the Fenton project was not due to landowner issues, but when we bid the project in 2001, we had a bid price that was contingent upon going commercial, I think it was December of our in 05. The turbine market started going crazy, and so our costs were going up 10-15% a year. And we had to go back to the utility, convince them that the turbine prices were going up. They had to get comfortable with that and be willing to go to the commission to actually say that even though we bid one price, we were not able to fulfill the bid price, namely due to we were not going to commit to an 07 price based on the market that was known in 2001. So we didn't renegotiate with Xcel Energy and finalized the contract, and then we've gone forward.
Okay. Ms. McAbee, I'm not sure if you understood the question, but the question, Mr. Jones had suggested that the parameters of the five-year time frame be from the point of up to the point of
we would say 10 years.
Contract development? No, you said 5 years would be okay if
you're
what's
in
the
development.
South Dakota contract?
In South Dakota, it's basically you're in development, which could include your meteorological studies. You have to have 1 to 3 years of studies. Your transmission studies can take as long as 2 years, possibly three.
So you're not just holding the land?
No, we are actually trying to secure a contract and do the studies. And so when we secure a contract, we can go forward.
Ms. McAbee.
Madam Chair, members, we actually talked about this issue at length and had several of the attorneys who work with projects. And what they suggested is that the concept of development is pretty vague. We got funding this year for pre-development costs, quote-unquote pre-development, the revolving loan fund, and the very things that are now being talked about as development in our in the authorization bill were talked about as pre-development. And what the lawyer said is commercial operation is one of the few things where there's no disagreement. The other thing that is sometimes used in other development agreements is construction, because development might mean a hole in the ground to someone, might mean actually building a turbine to someone, might mean doing a study 2 or 3 years ahead of time. So that's, I think, one of the challenges that Minnesota coming after South and North Dakota, that we've been hearing that term is not very precise. And
but one of your arguments, I believe, was that North and South Dakota have this agreement, and yet you're asking now for something that's different from North and South Dakota.
And Madam Chair, that's very early on when we brought this through both committees, we said if there's a trigger point that if construction makes more sense, or if there's another year and you know, there can be a year or a year and a half between what I call development and commercial operation. And the advocates on the other side never came back to us and said, this is the time difference that we really need. And I think, I mean, I would talk to staff. We're suggesting that perhaps we put in the 5 years, but then have a study and sunset it, because there may be variables. I'm just, my concern is that the term commercial operation has a very reliable meaning, and it won't result in a lot of confusion or litigation. It will be something that is a clear dividing point, and that's why the folks who had the experience suggested that be the term we use in the statute.
Madam Chair. What if why should we change anything at this point before we do a study then?
Madam Chair.
Ms. McAbee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The reason we would change something now is a permanent easement is forever. And I know that the legislature has had to come in after the fact with pipeline easements. It is quite possible that if we don't act now, there is a good deal of effort right now to secure wind rights. It's not a matter that it's not an opportunity that we can have again.
Do you not think that you could educate your landowners that they shouldn't settle for permanent easements?
Madam Chair, I think that that's a very laudable goal. I'm going to speak not just as wind industry, but I just finished a pipeline case, and of the literally hundreds of landowners on that line, only a handful were even aware that they had an option to require the company to go in and redefine their leases even after law has been passed. Ordinary people who are not lawyers don't necessarily know all these details and don't have – some people will have very sophisticated analysis and some won't, and that's one of the things that this legislature does is protects landowners and puts everybody on a level playing field. And if 5 years is too short, it can be extended. But once that opportunity is missed, it's really gone.
Okay. Ms. Soholt, did you want to add anything?
Well, Madam Chair, I appreciate the questions about why it should be changed. I think we've surfaced a lot of issues with unintended consequences and things that really need to be studied more before we put a definite date in statute or number of years. If we actually agree that commercial operation is a very definitive term, but if we're going to stick with that, then 5 years is too little. Mr. Jones testified that 9 years was pretty – a good moderate example of a lot of wind development that's going on. And so perhaps if we want to stick with commercial operation, we should put 10 years and then study the issue further. We would be more comfortable with that kind of term and then studying the issue.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody that had questions? Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To me, it seems this issue, the real winners right now are going to be the lawyers in this. And commercial operation may be definitive, but I do think there are too many variables in this industry that truly affect the development of this industry. And it is emerging. And we are seeing great growth in it, but I would hate to do anything to stymie the growth or to affect somebody that has a project and there's outside forces that are affecting this project that can't be dealt with, and then he has to go renegotiate and get his lawyers and perhaps not get that site, and so he starts all over again. I think this is just – there's just too much – I think a study would be very prudent to make sure that we are doing this correctly instead of putting a halt on the industry with a five-year. You have to have it done in 5 years when you're not quite sure what's coming at you.
Okay.
And that can be anything from the market to your financial investment to the blades, the turbines, whatever. So
we're going to call on Assistant Commissioner Bull at this time. Senator Dibble?
I can suspend.
Okay. Ms. McAbee, you can be excused.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Mike Bull. I'm the Assistant Commissioner for Renewable Energy at the Department of Commerce. And we come at this without any maybe additional expertise than the folks that have been to testify or talk to you about these issues. We're sort of where Senator Dibble is, where we agree with everyone who's talked to you. This is an issue that I think that
I thought you were coming to help us out.
Rarely, Madam Chair. I think though the concern that if I was going to give advice to the committee, and apparently I am, I think I would suggest a do no harm approach. We don't want to put additional barrier. We just have passed a very aggressive renewable energy standard, and I'd worry that a too short time on these easements may create an additional barrier to meeting that RES. So if it sitting in the back, if it seemed to me that a potential pathway might be a 10-year time frame around these easement or lease rights along with the study, I think that might be a do-no-harm approach, and I'd maybe suggest that to you.
Okay. Thank you. But as long as you're there,
we'd
like to ask you about Section 2 and the 50%, 51% rule.
Sure.
And I'm wondering if you could comment on that.
Yeah, Madam Chair, thank you for the question. This has to do with the seabed is a community or a local ownership statute. It has to do with how much of the and ultimately how much community benefit a community project, something that has a designation of seabed, how much community benefit is left in the community to meet that threshold. And that's the ultimate goal of seabed, is that you have to meet a certain threshold to be a community project. At the same time, we're trying to work it within a turbine and an equity market where the turbines are very scarce for a whole host of reasons, the places you can go to get the turbines and your equity partners for these projects, it's fairly scarce. It's not a buyer's market, so to speak. And it's very difficult to structure projects that will grab a whole bunch of community benefit. So that as we're trying to put these together, we've been working all session in terms of trying to, and before session, trying to get what that appropriate threshold, how to describe that appropriate threshold, and still allow projects to be financed and for where money will capital will flow to the projects and we'll be able to get them built. And what I'm concerned about now is that I don't think we've found that sweet spot yet, that the language that would allow us to do both of those things, maintain a lot of a very specific amount of community benefit that we can describe and get projects financed and developed. And what I'm worried about is that language in either body may cause the existing language in both bodies may cause fewer projects to be built under the seabed statute, that they, at least for the foreseeable future, while we continue to be in this very tight turbine market, that fewer projects could be developed under the language changes that proposed in either body, even though those are that's the language that we've been trying to work with all session long. So I'm admitting a failure to you, but I'm trying to make sure that seabed can continue to be a workable statute. We've learned a lot this session about what are the component parts that go into that 51% calculation, and I think given some additional time, we'll continue to work through those and find that right answer, but I can't tell you with any certainty that we've been able to find it thus far.
Okay. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Bolt, this is somewhat news to me over the last couple of days, and I know there's pending or language proposed out there in community partnership type of, revenue participation models. And now, we talk about the dynamics of the turbine market and this and that, and I'm wondering if it's RPS-driven at a national level with the Bingaman and Reed proposal out of D.C., or if it's Thune and Coleman and the extension of the PTC for 5 to 7 years that would flatten it out and that would make it much more easy for us to have a stable market. But the community participation language that seems to want access into the seabed definition has been ranging from 5.7% to 9% participation amounts. It doesn't seem that's very stable to me either. Realizing that this statute's only 2 years old, and that we put a lot of time in with stakeholders back when it was cold and snowy, and this 51-49 with the you know, the subdivisions and the numbers and the this and the that and the definitions about that. I mean, could, and you just had said up there with a little more time, we could continue to tweak the seabed definition, which I don't disagree with. But for this session, while the tax credit is on at the national level and the RES is in and there's desire to put more seabed under contract, if by next session and over the summer and the fall seabed seems to be hung up for whatever reason we can identify, then maybe we could go and talk about different portions and percentages to get those projects built. But at this point, would you be willing to go back to what I thought was a department position on this definition?
Madam Chair, Representative Peterson, you're right that this was language that we worked out and brought, trying to, as we were working through this, brought to you with a number of other stakeholders. And we've continued to work on the language, and there's there's better language as I think Mr. Fuller put it earlier, the language is evolving. We have some of that, but even that language, I'm afraid, is still maybe just too darned tight to allow projects to be built. So what I think if I was going to give advice to the committee, if you adopted either language in either body, the chances are that we'd have fewer seabed projects. They may be high quality projects, so you know, they may be high value community projects, but there will be likely to be fewer of them, and that's a choice that I think that you're faced with.
Is everybody clear? Thank you. We're going to recess again. And we're going to, I know the House has a caucus right now.
It was changed.
It was changed?
It was 5:30.
The 5:30. Okay. Is this the agreement?
No, this is the agreement. This is South Dakota.
I was looking for somebody, and that came to you.
Yeah, I have.
This is South Dakota.
This is
going to
send
that. Get that, Brinsey.
Got the DFL list.
Mr. Seifert.
Are we ready?
I do not know.
You're welcome. You're welcome to sit in on a caucus.
Yeah, I would enjoy that.
We already adopted that.
Especially as we get close to that transportation vote.
You know, we have guests.
Because you have so many former legislators.
No, no.
I'm sorry. You got any technical training in power systems engineering?
Oh, really? I mean, the pages sit in.
We're back on the floor at 5.
Okay.
We are going to take a recess and allow you some time to get something to eat, to go to your caucuses, and maybe meet with your conferees about where we proceed at this point. In the meantime, we'll try to work out some language on the wind easements, too. Okay? So we will reconvene at 7 o'clock.